All right, welcome to another deep dive. And this time, it's all about something you, our amazing listeners, specifically requested.
That's right, we're talking deforestation in southern Somalia.
We heard you loud and clear, and we're ready to get into it.
We'll be focusing on a recent article from More Somalia. It's got some pretty fascinating findings.
Oh yeah, this one's packed with info.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not stopping there. We also did some extra digging to bring you even more context.
Gotta get the full picture, right?
Exactly. So to kick things off, let's drop a little knowledge bomb. Ready for this? Somalia is losing almost 1% of its forest cover every single year. And get this, there's a link to a specific terrorist group.
Yeah, we'll get into all the details of that connection later on.
But first, let's zoom out a bit. You might be thinking, okay, forests, they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But why should I care about them disappearing in some far-off place?
Well, hold on to your hats, because forests are way more important than just being pretty. They're absolutely essential for life on Earth, and that includes yours, no matter where you live.
Okay, so break it down for us. What's the big deal about forests?
Well, for starters, they help regulate the entire planet's temperature.
That's huge with all the climate change stuff going on.
Absolutely. Plus, they influence rainfall patterns, absorb carbon dioxide, you know, the stuff that's heating up the planet.
Right.
They also filter our water and stabilize the soil. It's like Earth's natural life support system.
So basically, forests are like the MVPs of the planet.
Pretty much. And when we lose forests, especially at the rate Somalia is experiencing, the consequences can be devastating, not just locally, but globally.
It's all connected.
Exactly. And speaking of Somalia, let's dive into what's driving this massive deforestation there. One of the biggest culprits, charcoal.
Charcoal, like for grilling.
Well, yeah, but in Somalia, it's mainly used for cooking, and the demand is huge. Almost 48% of households rely on charcoal, and another 41% use firewood.
Wow, that's a lot of trees going up in smoke.
It is, and it's putting immense pressure on Somalia's forests, particularly these two types of trees, acacia and camphora.
And isn't the acacia tree super important culturally in Somalia?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just about lumber. It's a central part of their culture. People gather under acacia trees for schooling, community meetings, even to resolve conflicts.
It's like losing a piece of their cultural heritage.
Sadly, yes. And this dependence on charcoal isn't unique to Somalia. It's a big issue across sub-Saharan Africa. The charcoal industry there is projected to be worth over $12 billion by 2030.
Wow, that's a massive industry. So we've got this huge demand for charcoal, which is wiping out forests. But how are researchers even studying this in Somalia, especially with Al-Shabaab controlling so much territory?
That's where things get really interesting. Because it's so dangerous to do research on the ground in Somalia, scientists had to get creative.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How'd they do it?
Satellite imagery. They used high-tech satellites to track changes in vegetation cover over time.
That's pretty amazing, like being environmental detectives from space.
Exactly. And what they found was pretty alarming. Between 2013 and 2021, southern Somalia lost a whopping 34% of its vegetation cover.
That's way more than the 12% loss in Kenya, right?
Exactly. And that's the key here. Kenya is right next door, very similar environment, but much more stable governance.
So the difference in deforestation rates really points to the impact of human activity and instability.
You got it. Nature doesn't care about political boundaries, so that stark contrast really highlights the human element.
Makes you think. Okay, so we've got the charcoal issue, the research challenges, but what about Al-Shabaab? What's their role in all of this?
Well, that's where things get even more complicated and a little bit dangerous.
Oh, this sounds serious.
It is. Al-Shabaab controls a lot of southern Somalia, right where the deforestation is happening the most, and they're profiting from it. Big time. Estimates suggest they're raking in somewhere between $15 and $50 million annually from charcoal.
Wait, hold on. Didn't the UN ban charcoal exports from Somalia back in 2012?
They did, yep. The goal was to cut off Al-Shabaab's funding and protect the forests. But as you can see, it's not really working.
The More Somalia article even showed this crazy tweet with a massive convoy of trucks loaded with firewood. Clearly, the illegal trade is still going strong.
Powerful imagery, right? Shows how hard it is to enforce these kinds of bans in areas with so much conflict and limited governance.
So it's like this tangled web of charcoal demand, illegal trade, and a terrorist group profiting from it all. Sounds like a tough nut to crack.
It is. But before we get into potential solutions, we need to really understand the consequences of all this deforestation, because it goes way beyond just losing trees.
All right, let's do that. What happens when all those trees disappear? What are the long-term consequences for the people in Somalia? and, you know, for the rest of us?
Those are the million-dollar questions, and they're exactly what we'll be tackling next. Okay, so you're probably wondering, what happens when all those trees disappear, right? What are the long-term consequences for the people of Somalia? And for the rest of us, too. Well, remember how we talked about forests being Earth's life support system?
Yeah, they regulate all sorts of things like temperature and rainfall.
Exactly. So when those forests are gone, the effects are felt both locally and globally. In Somalia, we see increased soil erosion, desertification, and even more extreme weather events like floods and droughts.
You mentioned desertification earlier. It's worth really understanding what that means, though. Imagine fertile land, you know, the kind that supports crops and livestock, turning into a barren desert. That's desertification, and deforestation is a major culprit.
And this has a direct impact on people's lives, especially those nomadic communities who rely on grazing land for their animals. Their way of life is already being threatened by droughts. Deforestation just makes things even harder.
It's like a chain reaction, isn't it? Less rain, more erosion, less grazing land, and eventually not enough food.
Exactly. A vicious cycle. And the impacts go way beyond Somalia. Remember, forests absorb carbon dioxide, which helps fight climate change. When we lose forests, that carbon is released back into the atmosphere, contributing to rising global temperatures. So even if you're thousands of miles away from Somalia, deforestation there can still affect your climate and environment.
It really makes you realize how interconnected everything is. Okay, so it sounds pretty bleak so far, but Maura, Somalia article did mention some efforts to fight back against deforestation. Tell me there's some hope, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not all doom and gloom. There's growing awareness of the problem, and local and international organizations are working on solutions.
Like Bishakagaran. They're the group actively regreening Somalia, right?
That's right. They're doing fantastic work, and it's all volunteer-based. Last year alone, they planted over 80,000 seeds. They nurture the seeds in a nursery in Mogadishu and then distribute the seedlings to schools, hospitals, public places, even private homes.
That's incredible. Just shows how much people care and are willing to roll up their sleeves to make a difference. And what about that massive tree planting initiative the Somali president launched?
Oh, you mean the plan to plant 10 million trees? Yes. President Mohamed announced that back in 2022. It was a pretty ambitious goal.
It was. Any updates on that? I mean, 10 million trees is a lot of trees.
It is, and there was a lot of buzz when it was first announced. But updates on the project have been kind of hard to come by. Transparency and accountability are so important for these kinds of large-scale projects.
It's not just about planting. You got to make sure the trees survive long-term, too.
Exactly. And that takes careful planning, community involvement, and ongoing monitoring. But remember, reforestation is only one part of the solution. We also need to address the root causes of deforestation, like the demand for charcoal.
Speaking of charcoal, the article mentioned that some Somali households are starting to switch to propane for cooking. Is that a viable alternative?
Oh, absolutely. Propane is much cleaner and more efficient than charcoal, and they've got these new plastic propane containers that are way safer than the old metal ones. So people are more willing to make the switch.
So it sounds like a few things are pushing this shift. Concerns about the environment, the convenience of propane, and those safety improvements.
You got it. In cities, it's estimated that almost half of all households are now using gas for cooking. In rural areas, it's still around 15-20%, so there's definitely progress being made.
That's encouraging to hear. But what about the economic impact? Charcoal production provides income for a lot of people in Somalia. How can we shift away from it without hurting people's livelihoods?
That's a really important question, and it's why a multifaceted approach is so crucial. We need to support sustainable alternative livelihoods, like cultivating crops that can handle droughts or developing ecotourism.
And I imagine that would require investment and support from the Somali government and international organizations.
You nailed it. It's going to take collaboration to create a sustainable future for both Somalia's forests and the people who depend on them.
You know, something else the Moore Somali article brought up was the role of religion in promoting environmental stewardship.
Yes. That's a powerful angle. Somalia's population is largely Muslim, and Islam puts a strong emphasis on caring for the environment. Planting trees is even seen as a form of charity in Islam because it benefits everyone, humans and animals alike.
It's amazing how cultural and religious values can be such a powerful force for conservation. It's not just about the science and policy. It's about connecting with people's deeply held beliefs.
Exactly. And that's where groups like Bishakagaran really shine. They're not just out there planting trees. They're raising awareness, educating people, and fostering a sense of responsibility for the environment.
So amidst all the challenges, there are glimmers of hope. Dedicated people and organizations like Bishkekgirn are working hard on reforestation. We're seeing a shift toward cleaner energy, and there's a strong cultural foundation for environmental care. But what about us, the listeners? What can we do, even though we're not directly involved in the situation in Somalia?
I was hoping you'd ask that. It's easy to feel helpless when you're facing a global issue like deforestation, but the truth is, our collective actions can make a difference. We can all be a part of the solution.
Okay, so I get it. Deforestation in Somalia is bad news. But what can we do about it? Like, I'm just one person sitting here listening to this deep dive. Can my actions really make a difference in a place so far away?
I hear you. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of global issues like deforestation. But honestly, our individual choices do matter. Even small actions can add up to create big change. It's like that butterfly effect thing.
Right, right. Small actions lead to bigger consequences down the line. But what kinds of actions are we talking about here? What can I actually do to help?
Well, one of the most impactful things is being a conscious consumer. Think about the wood products you use. Do you really need that new table made from some exotic tropical hardwood?
That's a good point. I never really think about where the wood in my furniture comes from.
It's worth considering. Maybe you could choose furniture made from sustainably sourced wood or bamboo. Or even better, buy secondhand.
Oh yeah, secondhand is always a good option. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Exactly. And aside from our shopping habits, we can support those organizations that are actually working on the ground to restore damaged ecosystems. You know, like Bishkekgirn.
Yeah, those guys are doing amazing work.
They are. And even a small donation can help them plant more trees, educate local communities, and make a real difference.
And we can always use our voices to raise awareness, right? Talk to our friends and family about this stuff. Share information online.
You got it. The more people who understand the problem and how it affects us all, the better. We can even push for policies that protect forests and promote sustainable practices.
Okay, I'm starting to feel a bit more empowered now, like I can actually do something.
That's the spirit. Every little bit counts. Remember, change starts with each of us taking responsibility for our impact on the planet.
Well said. So just to wrap things up, deforestation in Somalia is a complex issue, but there is hope. We have people working hard on reforestation efforts. There's a shift toward cleaner energy happening, and there's a strong cultural foundation for environmental care in Somalia.
That's right. And remember, we can all contribute to a solution by being mindful consumers, supporting organizations like Bishkekgirn, and raising awareness about this critical issue.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive into deforestation in Somalia. We hope you found it informative and maybe even a little bit inspiring. And as a final thought, we want to leave you with this. What small changes can you make in your everyday life to create a more sustainable future? Maybe it's reducing your consumption, donating to an environmental group, or simply spreading the word. Every little action counts. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.